Well, welcome into Voluntary Reaction, March 17th edition, St. Patrick's Day. The worst St. Patrick's Day I think I have ever experienced. Tennessee, after the most amazing comeback, perhaps, in school history, faces off against Auburn in the SEC Tournament Championship. Everything to play for, really nothing to lose. But man, 40 years of history stacked against Tennessee, this felt like the year. And what do you get? A 20-point loss at the hands of Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers. Again, this is Voluntary Reaction, 865-546-8200. If you want to get in with us, it's me, Houston Kress, and the one and only Tanner Carson on the ones and twos. It's a skeleton crew. You know why? A, because no one thought we would be here, and B, because no one wanted to sign up just in case the Vols got to Sunday and lost. Damn it, Tanner. What the hell were we thinking?
I don't know. Houston, we are gluttons for punishment. We must be. We are either A, really dedicated company men, or
we're definitely that.
Or B, what's the opposite of sadist? I can't. I know what the word is. I can't not pronounce it. Masochist. We're masochist. That's what we are. We love.
Yeah,
we love.
Is it masochists or masochists?
It's one of the two.
But yeah, that's the one.
We love our own.
I don't like that
pain word.
So I didn't. I never learned it. We're not misogynists, though.
Definitely not.
Women are welcome.
Nobody loves women more than this nation.
If you want to call. Again, 865-546-8200. Tennessee, after a less than stellar but impressive performance against Mississippi State on Friday night, had one of the greatest games in Tennessee basketball history yesterday against Kentucky in the SEC tournament semifinal, down 8 with 2 and change to play. Three-pointers by Admiral Schofield, a three-point play by Grant Williams, and a dagger three by Lamonte Turner lift the Vols over the Cats in Nashville. Today, according to the radio broadcast, 90% Tennessee fans in Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, a de facto home game for Tennessee, welcoming Auburn and Bruce Pearl, the spurned ex-head coach of the Volunteers. Tennessee, perhaps with a one seed on the line, according to the talking head bracketologists out there. And Tennessee in Nashville. Nashville, Tennessee, I might add. Gives up an SEC tournament record 15 three-pointers to the Auburn Tigers, who win 84-64. I'll give the number one more time. 865-546-8200.
Yeah, we had
if
people.
If you want to get on here. Yeah, the phones were blowing up before the game was even
on there.
Well, I guess Tanner, in fairness, the game was over about 5 minutes into the second half.
That is also very true.
We hoped, we prayed, we cheered, we cried. I really don't even know where to begin. I mean, I guess I do.
Maybe start with that stretch that began with about halfway through the first half, when it seemed like every time Tennessee had the ball, a few seconds later, the ball would be in the hands of an Auburn player. Maybe you can start there, maybe.
Early in the game, let me see if I can find the time frame here.
I think it was
for about the first 10 minutes of the game. I don't say Tennessee was in control, but they were playing well enough. Tennessee led 5-3. They led 10-8. They led 12-8. They led 15-11. They led 17-13. They led 17-15, and then it happened. With 9 minutes to go in the first half, Auburn cuts Tennessee's lead 18-17. Then there was a little bit of a drought. 7:53 left in the first half. Purifoy hits a layup, and Tennessee never leads again. From 7:53 in the first half, Auburn gets the one-point lead on a Purifoy layup and absolutely runs away with it. From that layup to go up 19-18, Auburn would extend the lead to 31-18. They would carry the lead into halftime, even though a nice Jordan Bowden full-court run-scooping athletic layup cut it to 9 at the break. Tennessee comes out in the second half, cuts the Auburn lead, down to 7, which is not fantastic. And then it happened.
It.
7 points at 17-21 in the second half. Tennessee on a Lamonte Turner 3. Shouts out to Lamonte Turner, the only Tennessee Volunteer who showed up today. From that point on, Auburn, oh, it was a rout. Tennessee on the day, 1,000 turnovers, it felt like. The final number settled at 17. I repeat, 17 turnovers today for the Tennessee Volunteers, and Auburn with 15 made threes. There's your ball game. Tennessee could not protect the basketball. They did not value the basketball. And Auburn jacked up three after three after three after three after three. Auburn on the day shot 64 shots. Tanner Carson, 40 of the 64 from three.
You see the Houston Rockets, the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, this is the modern NBA game plan. It better be a layup, which it was, or it better be a three, and it was.
And they did both very well.
Very, very well.
They also, did you already mention that they made an SEC tournament game record?
Yeah, 15.
For made three-pointers. 15. Yeah, awesome.
Just breaking records.
Love it.
On this Volunteer Reaction, the phone lines brought to you by the McKinnick team with Keller Williams. They have one simple philosophy, and that's clients come first. As they're helping you find the home of your dreams or sell your current home, they pledge to be in constant communication and keep you informed throughout the entire process. Put simply, you come first. Go to Facebook, like the Travis and Emily McKinney team page. And then, as always, go to ZillowKnoxville.com to learn more. That's ZillowKnoxville.com. The McKinney team, proud sponsors of NCAA basketball postseason here at Fan Run Radio. Although today, they're probably as disappointed as you are. We go now to the McKinney team hotline with Jesse or Jeff?
I couldn't really hear him too well. It's one of the
It's a tough day. It's a tough day for people. Words are probably being slurred. That's why we're app only. You can say whatever the hell you want because we're all disappointed, and that's why we're here. Who we have on the phone? What? Say your name one time.
Jeff.
It is Jeff. I thought so.
Jeff.
I just want to say welcome to the program. I just want to say I'm a SEC fan, and I thought Tennessee got too happy yesterday when they beat Kentucky, and they weren't ready to play today, and they got beat. That's the way it was. They hugged and hollered and did everything else when they beat Kentucky yesterday, and they thought they won the SEC tournament yesterday. They had to play one more game, and they got whipped today. And I say that Kentucky and Tennessee probably will both be two seeds, might be in opposite regions, whatever, but that's what happened to Tennessee, is they thought they won the tournament yesterday. It's been 40 years since they've won it. It might be 40 more years, but that's the bottom line. And the thing sad for Tennessee fans is people down here in Nashville have said this is the best Tennessee team that they've seen in their lifetime, and Tennessee could not win the regular season or the tournament championship in the SEC. And the knock on Rick Barnes is he can't get it done in March. That's why Texas fired him, because they got tired of losing the first two rounds of a tournament. And that's what a knock on him. He can't get it done in March. That's the knock. Okay? And that's why you guys lost today. Because like I said, when you beat Kentucky, you were hugging and hollering, Roy Williams and Schofield jumping up and down, and you had to play one more game, and Auburn whipped your butt today, and it wasn't nothing to do with Bruce Pearl cheating at Tennessee or anything else. You just got whipped. And that's the bottom line, and you guys know it. It'll be 40 more years. It'll be 2059 before you win another SEC tournament. We'll see you, and you might be a basketball program if you can get some talent up there.
All right, thanks for the call, Jeff. I don't need dancing on the graveyard today.
Go to hell,
okay?
Jeff. Go to hell.
Come on, Jeff.
With all due respect, go straight.
You know, at first he set it off with a pretty decent little phone call, and then he kept saying, you guys. Bias is so obvious, Jeff. We don't need your help to feel bad today. I promise you, Jeff.
Did you hear how he started the call? I'm an SEC fan. Give me a break.
He's a Kentucky fan. I read it in his voice. I read it in the coal-stained voice of Jeff. He's a Kentucky fan. And he was upset that Admiral and Grand and Lamonte had such a big day and beat Kentucky and sent them home. Yep. And they didn't get to win their tournament. And they had to sell their tickets for half price. I'm sorry, Jeff. I understand you're upset. I don't need any help feeling upset today, Jeff. And I'm not sorry for you. I'm sorry for us.
Yes.
I'm sorry for us.
You know what's bad about that? He made some good points. He did make some good points about the
well,
game.
Well, no, that's the thing. The first half of his call, I was like, damn, Jeff, this is actually pretty good. And then he went, and then he got, it got personal for Jeff.
You're 20-59.
I should have cut Jeff off right when he started saying, it'll be 41.
That's my fault. I had my finger
that's
on the
That's my
button.
Fault. I'll be quicker on the trigger with these imposters call in. Jeff, I don't need your help to feel bad today. No one does. I promise. We don't need help. And I don't know that it was a celebration after the win over Kentucky. I don't think that's what it was. I think Auburn's pretty good. I'll say that. They had a weird stretch in the middle of the season where they played like absolute junk considering their talent level. It didn't make a lot of sense to me then, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me now because Auburn, pretty damn good. Last year, it made sense. Anthony McLemore has that gruesome injury against South Carolina late in the year. They fall off. Tennessee is able to catch them for a share of the regular season SEC title. You go into the tournament. I can't remember. Was it Alabama that beat Auburn? Didn't they beat Auburn like a drum? They had the running Colin Sexton layup to beat A&M. They beat Auburn like they stole something. Auburn was in shambles. They got to the NCAA tournament. They didn't look good there either. This year, I don't know what happened in the middle of the season, but right now Auburn appears to have it fixed. Bruce Pearl, as if I need to bury the dagger anymore in the hearts of Tennessee faithful, with his first SEC tournament championship.
That's not a real question.
Where was this team when you coached here, Bruce?
Is that what we were not talking about before we got on here, Houston?
Where was this?
Six seasons here, and how many times he absolutely just crapped
just
the bed?
Just choked the tournament. We get a championship matchup against a dog bleep. I could say it if I won. I'm just trying to be polite. A dog bleep Mississippi State team. And we let Mississippi State beat us for the championship by like two or three, whatever it was. Today, as I mentioned earlier, Auburn comes out, 15 threes. Jared Harper, probably their best player, doesn't do jack shit in the first half. He gets two fouls in the first 3 minutes. Bruce is complaining. That's two on him. Well, they were two fouls, Bruce. And then you sat him. And did it matter? No. Because Tennessee, for whatever reason, decided not to guard the three-point line, and they decided not to guard the rim. Oh, and by the way, they decided not to guard the basketball when they had possession of it, because all they did all day was give it to Auburn. We go to Jay now on the McKinney Team Hotline. Jay, get in here, man. What are you thinking?
Boys, are we cursed when it comes to this tournament?
Yes.
Probably, Jay.
Jay, I didn't think so, even though it's been 40 years. Until today. After that, like, it's one thing if you had gone out and gotten beat in a close game. It's one thing if things have been weird. Like, you were never in this game. Like, from 10 minutes in to the end, it was over.
I played basketball all throughout my life, played in college at a mid-major Division I level. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. That stretch of just turnovers in the first half, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Jay, was it eight turnovers on 10 possessions?
I've never seen something like that. I've played against some really crappy teams. I've seen some really crappy teams. Tennessee's a good team. I've never seen that before in my life. We have to be cursed.
Jay, I've watched a lot of Lady Vol basketball this year. I don't talk about it much. Not a very good year for them. I've never seen eight turnovers in 10 possessions. And no buckets.
And you know what? It stings a little bit more that it's against Bruce. I'm not going to lie.
100%.
I mean, 100%. It does, man. Because don't get me wrong. I love me some Coach Barnes, and we're blessed to have him here. And he's done a wonderful job here. But, you know, Bruce, we love Bruce. Bruce was the most popular guy on campus when he was here.
No doubt.
And...
unless you play,
you know, he had to lie about that barbecue. And I mean, guys, just an honest question. I'm not trying to pile on here, but does Bruce have Coach Barnes's number? When you think about the UT years and now, I mean, does he just kind of have? I mean, is that kind of like Barnes's kryptonite?
You know what's an interesting stat, Jay? They put before the game started. We can go back to the times that Bruce was here and Barnes is at Texas. I think they only met three times, and Bruce got two of those three. But just even him being at Auburn, it's very interesting. And I know the stat they showed, it included like the Tindall year too, I think. But Bruce, he's like, I think he has one win against an unranked Tennessee team since he's been Auburn. Against a ranked Tennessee team, today makes it 3-0.
It's unreal,
it's typical Bruce, is it not? Gets his team up to slay these Giants.
is Bruce his first year going down there with Dane Bradshaw and absolutely smacking Barnes in Austin?
Man, that was fun though, wasn't it?
Oh God, I couldn't believe that. That's one of those moments I remember exactly where I was watching that game. But I don't know, guys. Going into the tournament, I mean, look, the blueprint's out on us, how to attack us and how to make us defend you. And you know, when you got teams like Houston and UNC and these teams who are guard
Wofford,
Wofford.
Auburn. I mean, these teams, threes that are. I mean. The blueprint's out. Tennessee, and we just looked like we didn't care. I mean, I was sitting there screaming at the television thinking, I was like, this is for a championship. And it looked like it's the first time I've ever seen where it looked like Admiral and Grant just didn't care.
Man.
I mean, their body language, they looked like they did not care.
To Jeff's point, man, it's like you peaked yesterday and then usually after a really big win like that, I mean, that felt like a championship game yesterday,
it really did.
Jay. You
it
know
really
what I mean?
Did.
Like
it
that,
did. Oh, yeah.
Like, in any other year, like, that is your championship game. And, in fact, last year, that was your championship game. So it's almost as if you win that game in dramatic fashion against your arch rival, against the team you're in the hunt, for a one seed with. I imagine it's pretty hard to kind of come down off that cloud and then refocus and say, oh, yeah, there's another game tomorrow for the championship. But that, I think that's my biggest problem. You know, if it had been Florida, if it had been, name 100 teams. Well, there's not that many. Maybe name like 11 teams. Like if it had been South Carolina, Missouri, Georgia, Vanderbilt, so on and so forth, like it doesn't matter. I don't care. This was Bruce Pearl. And I realize that none of these players played for him. I get that. I realize that Rick Barnes is two coaches removed from Bruce Pearl. But for Tennessee fans who have been here for the duration, for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, to see your ex-wife on the opposing sideline and come out and lay a damn egg is a arrow through the heart.
It is, man. It is, because we love Bruce. We loved him here, and it just stings. And you know what? I don't know if I'm crazy for thinking this, but I still think we're a better team than Auburn. We just can't seem to beat them. I don't think Auburn is better than us. It just seems that when we play them, we play like crap. And I don't understand what, like when Kentucky beat us that first time, I was thinking, you know what? Kentucky just might be better than us. But I just don't feel like Auburn's better than us. I just feel like we can't even dribble when we play them. It's like we can't even dribble a basketball when we play them. I don't understand it.
The turnovers today, Jay, were just mind-boggling. Like I do give Auburn a lot of credit because I realize Tennessee's playing their third game. Like this was Auburn's fourth game, and their defensive intensity, their pressure, their willingness to jump in passing lanes to give that extra effort on a post entry. Or a wing pass, like it was visible, man. Like they had the juice, and I kept thinking, okay, they're going to run out of this juice in the second half. And maybe they did a little bit defensively, but then they settled into the three-point shot, and it was just like, well, damn. Like what are you going to do?
When you give a team 16, 17, 18 extra possessions in a conference championship game, you make it really, really hard to win.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, I'll say this, and I'll get off here. I guess if we can have a silver lining in all this, hopefully we get the 2 seed in the South. I do think that's a better path than the 1 seed out West if you would have won.
I agree.
And, you know, hopefully they put Virginia as the 1 seed because I think we could handle them. And we'll see what happens. So maybe this is, you know, maybe there's a silver lining in all this. I'll take a Final Four over a conference title game. So who knows? We'll see what
Absolutely.
Happens, guys.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Jay. Appreciate it, buddy.
That's the one thing, Houston. At the end of all this, and despite how pessimistic we can be, because I'm pretty pessimistic
right
now.
I'm
pretty pessimistic. I'm probably going to be...
I'm kind of beat down.
Until tomorrow. Oh, yeah. We have absolutely every reason to be. The season's not over.
No.
It's the one thing to say season's not over, but there's some very concerning writing on the wall.
Yeah.
You talked about we're talking about teams like facing a tournament like a Houston, and you mentioned Wofford. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it just be
Florida State
something hilarious if you get that 2 seed, which you're going to get that 2 seed today, but your second round matchup would be between, how about this, Wofford at like the 10 or 7. I don't mm-hmm. know what they would put them at given mm-hmm. their conference, and them taking on Villanova. Do you want a nightmare? That's a nightmare.
I've seen those projections. I've seen those bracketology projections of stuff like that, where we're running into a Houston, a Wofford, a Florida State. These teams who are just like, yeah, we'll take 35 threes a game. We don't really care.
The maybe one good thing is you're not going to play a team exactly like Auburn that's going to take that many. But there are several good teams, and especially the further you get in the tournament, that are going to be guard-oriented, three-taking teams like that. And it really just concerns me.
To Jay's point, like Auburn this year specifically, they're a horrible matchup for us. If we would have played them earlier in the year, we would have beat them. You know why? Because Okiki wasn't quite as good. Dunbar wasn't quite as good. McLemore was still kind of getting his legs under him from that gruesome injury last year. And right now, I mean, hell, guys, Jared Harper missed the first half. He was a no-show with the two quick fouls. And you were down 9 at the break. Because they can go to Bryce Brown. Okiki can spot up and back out for 3. And that's what they did, man. That's what they did. I mean, listen, Okiki was 5 of 9 from 3. That's their big man.
He's cooked us. He has cooked us in the last 2 games.
Bryce Brown, 5 of 10. 5 of 10. Got a man. Purifoy, the guy who murders you in Auburn with that ridiculous 3 he hit after the amazing Grant block on the drive. Hell, even he had 2. He's 2 of 3. He had 10 points. You got, I think you got out-rebounded. Yeah, you got out.
Yeah, you did. You
had
7.
You had the lead in the rebounds early on in the second half, and then you ended up getting just run away with. 39-32, you get out-rebounded. I've mentioned the turnovers. I'll mention them again because it was ridiculous. 17-7, Tennessee loses the turnover battle.
You want the last 2 games, the turnover stats, by the way?
I would love... The first matchup against Kentucky, do we have... Or the one we won in Knoxville, I think we have 5?
Something like that. I'm talking specifically against about Auburn.
Oh, so we got to be up to like 30
you
now.
You just mentioned they had a plus 10 in the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 17 for Tennessee this time. Down Auburn, it was 13. 30, Auburn, 30. So that's 30 in the last 2 matchups, and Auburn in the last 2 matchups has just turned it over 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those turnovers, we were watching the end of the game, that was just garbage time, sloppy basketball turnovers that Auburn committed.
Buddy, the majority of our turnovers today were garbage time, sloppy basketball turnovers. Did you see? We could not dribble. Jay said it. We could not dribble the ball down the court. Lamonte Turner is trying to do a crossover and just, there it goes, right into the hands of the defender. Jordan Bone, I'm just going to switch the ball from my right hand to my left hand. Not even a crossover, just a little dribble down and pick it up with the left, and there it goes into the hands of Harper or Brown or whoever the hell. It was weird. We looked half asleep for 35 minutes, and I don't even know which 5 we were awake for. It was brutal. We got Tyler from San Antonio on the McKinney Team Hotline. We go to him now. Tyler, help us out.
Hey, how's it going? Well.
It's terrible, Tyler!
Yeah, well, yeah. Not bad. I mean, going nuts over here. So, I called my dad last night, and I told him, I called him screaming. He was like, why are you screaming? He's like, I've been out in the yard. I'm like, we won the game. We won the game last night. Mm-hmm. He didn't even know my dad walked away. But today was just like, I told him, I said, we got this. He's like, no, I don't know. We'll see. And I'm like, well, we are Tennessee, so we'll never know what's going to happen. But today was just, man, I don't know how to explain it.
It was hell.
You guys are talking.
It was hell, is what it was. It was basketball hell, Tyler.
Man, I live down here in Texas, so
Tyler,
I'm probably the biggest Tennessee fan, you know, this side of the Mississippi. But I feel like we're passing up on shots
all day.
You guys recognize that
all day, yes. Man, all day.
It's like they're trying to play. Like, we have a system, right? But it's almost like, you know, let it fly. Let's go.
No, I thought our shot selection today, Tyler, was very timid. I give Auburn a lot of credit. Again, I mentioned this earlier. Their defensive energy and pressure was reminiscent of what Kentucky gave to you on the first game in Rupp.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's really hard to do that for 40 minutes, and I can only imagine how much harder it is to do that after playing three games in 3 days the way Auburn has. That was, to me, the biggest difference, and why I am so frustrated today is because you played one less game, you had the same amount of rest over the last 3 days, essentially, as Auburn did,
and they
looked so much more free and comfortable and loose. And we look tight. We look timid. I mean, what do we get from our big three today? Nothing.
6 points.
Yeah, like Grant Williams with a couple of late buckets that really didn't matter had 13. Schofield got you
four,
and Bone with only 11. Like those guys combining for 28.
When
Admiral and Grant alone had 41 last night, like that's just not going to get it done. And Schofield, Schofield only took 8 shots. He had like 15 yesterday. Get a damn shot, bud. Like,
he
just get
like
the ball and go to the rack.
Taking him the first half.
Exactly.
I was trying to talk to my wife about it, and she doesn't get it. She's not Tennessee. You know, she's from Texas, and I've got family. My first cousin's last name is Litton. That rings any bells.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm. Love
those burgers.
Oh yeah, good burgers. I don't know. I told her I was like, I'm mad, but I would be a lot more mad if we hadn't. Like yesterday felt like we won the national championship.
Yeah, it did.
And that was incredible.
I think that's part of the problem, though, Tyler. I think the team felt like that too.
They came out. They come out and they play their opponent. They knew they should have won that game. They're, like Clay Travis said, they probably went out and drank and got hammered on Broadway last night.
I know.
That's how they played.
I know all the Tennessee fans did.
Yeah, I think our team did.
They looked a little hungover, honestly.
What do you guys think? Number 2 seed?
Yeah, it'll be a 2. The question is now where. A lot of people yesterday were saying Tennessee and Kentucky kind of playing for the 1 seed, and I guess we'll see, right? Like the NCAA has. Man, sometimes they really surprise you. I mean, I remember Bruce's first year when Tennessee got the 2. No one expected a 2. People were thinking a 4 or a 5, and then the NCAA uses NCAA math, and you get the 2 seed. I don't think a 1 seed is realistic, although a lot of people now are saying, really, North Carolina's a paper tiger. You did beat Kentucky. Yeah. Is it possible you sneak in there? I think the committee's going to try to give Michigan State a 1 seed if they...
I got one last thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the good news for all my loving Vol fans out there.
Oh.
God bless us all. We don't have to play Kentucky and Auburn 5 more times.
Amen to that.
That's a relief.
Thanks for the call, Tyler. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
546-8200. That's 865-546-8200. If you want to join the McKinney Team Hotline and get on with us, Voluntary Reaction, I'm Houston Kress. That's Tanner Carson on the ones and twos. It's going to be weird, man, because like that's what makes this so strange. You know, Tyler's talking about seeding. Like, in your AP rankings, 1, 2, and 3 all lost in their conference tournament.
Yeah, they did.
Gonzaga loses to St. Mary's. Virginia loses, inexplicably, to Florida State. And North Carolina, of course, falls to Duke, who is at 5. Hell, you're top 4, because Kentucky, of course, lost to Tennessee last night. So there's Michigan State.
Yep.
Just lurking. I did not realize this, though. They showed the stat today on TV. They played 21 games against top 50 opponents. Did you see that? They're 15-6.
In the net?
Yeah. Whatever the hell.
I think they're going by the net now. I think.
Yeah, they talk about quad one and all this. Top 50 opponents, Michigan State has played 21, 15-6. So all 6 of their losses against top 50 opponents. Again, I say to that, 6 losses, including some not great ones. Tennessee's losses. I mean... It's not at all hyperbole to say this was absolutely and 100% the worst loss of the season for the Tennessee Volunteers. I think that's why people are so upset. I think that's why people are so disappointed, because you could understand the Kansas game when Grant goes out and Azubuike is a monster. You could understand that Kentucky game at Rupp when you had been number one forever and you walk into the damn Hornet's nest and bad things start happening. You could understand the LSU game when Jordan Bone and Kyle Alexander are battling the flu. It and made Anthony sense. Jordan. Hell, even at Auburn. Well, Anthony Jordan, yeah, but who's still suspended, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And then even at Auburn. You got it. And sure, whatever. Tough place to play. Road games in the SEC. Man, they're always tough. Today? Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Not by 20. Not by 20, I can't explain this. No. So, yeah, man, people are upset. People are mad. People are just disappointed. Thousands and thousands of people drove west last night and this morning to make it to Nashville, to buy tickets, to buy breakfast, to get a hotel, to spend a bunch of money to watch this team. And they watch Bruce Pearl beat our ass by 20. Yeah.
Go Vols.
They're mad. Hell, I'm mad. I'm still mad. But as far as seeding, I just don't know. I just don't know. Because the NCAA has weird metrics that I don't quite understand. I think Tennessee will be a 2.
We're solidly a 2.
The question is, who's the number one overall? And right now, Duke certainly makes a lot of sense with Zion back.
It's going to be Duke.
Yeah, it should be, probably.
Virginia will get a 1.
Well, that's my question. Like, how far does Virginia fall? Losing to Florida State, well, who's good but not terrific.
They had the percentages. I don't know if they were using BPI or what today on ESPN in the pregame show. Virginia still, even after losing to FSU, has a 98% chance to get a 1 seed.
They have been very consistent. I mean,
ACC is getting 2 1 seeds at the very least.
I don't see it for North Carolina personally, no. But I could also
too many losses.
But that's a blue blood, so they got a shot. But yeah, I'm thinking Michigan State, man, they might have talked themselves back into a 1 seed. They play today. Are they done? Did they win the Big Ten?
Them and Michigan are playing right now. They just tipped off for the Big Ten tournament title.
Just tipped off. That's a late tip, man. What are you doing, Big Ten?
I think Big Ten and like AAC American. I think those are like the last two conference title games right before they get into the selection show.
Man, that's a late tip. That is a very, very late.
By the way, completely random.
You're absolutely right. Michigan up 3-2 over Michigan State.
Defensive battle.
Yeah.
Completely random, though, but you know, not really. We're kind of talking about it. When the selection show does start, how at least, you know, of a relief it is that they're going to have a normal show again for the first time
in years.
That
is good. Last year's was an absolute disaster.
Awful. Like, it was way too long.
Just give me the brackets, give me the seeds, and like, well, that's what they wanted to do, right? They wanted to turn it into like a 4 or 5 hour show, sell a bunch of ads, get people interested. The problem was once they started the show and everyone saw how bad it was, they were leaving. They were going to watch something else. So now people are like, if you want us to watch this, you better make it 2 hours maybe, and it better be pow, 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 seating.
They had the TNT inside the NBA crew do it last year, or at least most of them. And Ernie Johnson, man, bless his soul, he was so bored during it last year because it was taking
so
long.
I like the TNT crew, but not when they have to do that for 4 or 5 hours. It was abysmal.
EJ was so bored, he just ordered a pizza and just started eating pizza in the middle of the show.
Man, pizza sounds pretty good.
Right? I know, right?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Pizza sounds awesome.
Really good.
You know what also sounds good? You know, we're going to be at Elkmont Exchange for the first two rounds at least, and then every Tennessee game after that. They got some really good burgers, man. And their little subs.
Have you had the French dip?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's awesome.
Really good.
It's really good. It's so, so good. 546-8200, 865-546-8200 to join us on Voluntary Reaction. I don't know how long we're going to go. Probably not long. I'm still mad.
Still got callers coming in.
You know, if we had won, I would be willing to go to midnight. Easily. But after that game, and not just that you lost, but the way you lost, I'm a little skeptical as far as how many people are actually going to want to call in. But we got Robert on line two. Robert's going to join us. Robert, shed some light on what happened today, bud.
Man, I don't know what the hell happened. You know,
that makes three of us at least.
I just want to know how such a mature team like this, who has had this supposed mindset all year that they're in it for the long haul, can be so damn inconsistent when it comes to put up or shut up. This makes three or four times this year that I can think of where they just went completely flat. You know, I understand that, you know, our stars, Grant and Admiral, they're going to have bad games and other people have to pick up. But, I mean, just all around today with the exception of two, they just weren't there. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, that, for me at least, the Admiral no-show is the biggest surprise. like everyone has kind of, you know, alluded to him as the heart and soul of this team. He gives, you know, great post-game and pre-game interviews. He had that amazing video on the Players Tribune last week where you're thinking like, okay, now we've made it to the postseason. Now we're going to get the version of Admiral that we saw last year to close it, and we're going to make a run at two damn championships. Ain't nothing going to get in his way. If he's off, he's off. But damn, you're not going to see a lack of effort. Man, tonight looked like a lack of effort.
And no, I mean, here's the thing. I hate to even bring this up, and I know we all have raw emotions right now. So I mean, I know. But I'm going to be this guy, and I'm going to go there. Do y'all think Rick Barnes is overrated for when it's clutch time? Do you think this any of this falls on him at all?
Man, I don't know how you don't at least start to, like, look at that.
You know, I mean, this is two. I mean, granted, you know, this year hurts a lot more because, you know, for all season long we heard this is our year, this is our year. And here we are again. We beat arguably one of the best five teams in the nation yesterday. Great comeback win. Two out of three all season with them. And here we are. We just get waxed by Bruce Pearl. I mean, he absolutely owns Rick Barnes.
Robert, isn't that like the most frustrating part, though? Like, I mean, like, think about it. Like, this is one of the best Tennessee basketball teams in the history of the program. You lost the regular season title to LSU out of nowhere. And granted, they had some scheduling stuff, and they were a little bit better than everybody expected. But you had a chance to go down there and beat them, and you couldn't do it. No. So the LSU, out of nowhere, wins the regular season. You get to Championship Sunday of the SEC tournament. It's not Kentucky. It's not Florida.
It's Auburn.
No, you can say it. You can say fuck all you want. It's Auburn. It's your ex-coach.
I mean,
it's a team that's played four games in 4 days, and you go out there and you lay an egg.
We got cucked.
The thing, okay? This is the most frustrating part, okay? I understand we were 16-16, 16-17 two or three years ago, whatever it may be. You know, I appreciate the job he's doing. They're building these guys. They got great character. They're good in the classroom. I mean, they're everything. They're model athletes. My biggest frustration is now, you know, they've peaked. What do we do now? Do we just continue to just play half-assed when it comes to these big games and get blown out? You know, I mean, I'm ready. I mean, football's a totally different story, but I'm ready for somebody to win a damn championship. And, I mean, our fan base needs something to celebrate about. And right now, I don't know. I'm frustrated. I'm mad. I know you are, but something's got to give.
I'm with you, Robert. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. No, I mean, Houston, like, he's not wrong at all.
No, he's not. Houston, we have 29 wins this season. If I tell you before this season starts, that on Selection Sunday, this team has 29 wins. You went 15-3 in the conference regular season.
We didn't win the championship?
You played Kentucky three times and beat them twice, and you have zero trophies to show for it. Go Vols!
If you'd have stopped at the zero trophies thing and asked me if I'm taking the season, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm taking the season.
Yeah, but the way
Kansas and Gonzaga are on the schedule, and I'm fine with that. And then you say no trophies. Yeah. And then you say no banners. Congrats to Grant Williams for SEC Player of the Year, making All-American. That's great. I'm all about Tennessee players getting recognized, especially
first one to do it in a quarter century.
Yeah,
historic
those that are as great on and off the court as he is absolutely deserve 100% of the recognition that comes their way. But if you had said no banners, man, what?
And you lost the regular season to a team that's probably not even going to have time to hang their banner up before it gets vacated.
Well, that's also a different story.
That's also fun.
That's a different story. But it's just, I don't know, man. If you had said, hey, you're going to beat Kentucky two out of three times in the season, and you're not going to play them on Championship Sunday of the SEC tournament, but you will be there, am I taking that 100%?
Yeah.
That's what makes this season so crazy already. This is one of the best teams you've ever seen wear orange and white. Ever. Ever. I'm not saying that they have the best individual player or the best, you know, top two, but I'm telling you as a team, they're one of the best you have ever seen. One of the best to ever play their home games in Knoxville, Tennessee. They don't have a banner when they've got senior Admiral Schofield, senior Kyle Alexander, and two-time SEC Player of the Year, Grant Williams, and they're going home at the end of the year without having hung a banner, unless, of course, they go to Minneapolis and win two games, and then knowing none of this means
all,
shit.
All is forgiven.
But right now, What?
It's just what? Like it's just like 8 days ago, losing to Auburn, LSU beating Vanderbilt, and getting the outright season regular season championship. Saying, I'm thinking, okay, if you break the curse, who gives a shit about that game? But now, you lost the title game, and you lost it to the same team that cost you the regular season championship. Gotta love it. Gotta love getting cucked by Bruce Pearl, man. He's celebrating, he's sweaty and celebrating, holding up a trophy. We just have to sit in a corner and light up a cowboy killer, man.
You know, I'm not saying it makes a difference, but how damn frustrating is it to watch Bruce Pearl give 150% effort while coaching? And I love Rick Barnes. I'm not saying this. And honestly, this may not mean anything. It may mean absolutely nothing. It may mean less than nothing. But when I watch Bruce Pearl shedding the jacket, chucking the jacket, when I see him running out to a player, when I see him screaming at the officials saying, that's two on Harper, we're 2 minutes into the... When I see that, and then I see Rick Barnes just kind of stand there and give the officials a mean look. I appreciate the respectful nature in which Rick Barnes handles himself. I like it. But there is, and again, it may mean nothing. There is just something inside me that gets frustrated when I'm watching the... It happened yesterday with Kentucky. It happened in Knoxville and in Lexington. When you're watching Cal, he's burning calories coaching his team. I don't see that from Rick, man.
He got teed up twice,
and I'm not saying it matters. No, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, but that's always been Rick.
Rick
he's
is not
calm.
A Konzo.
No,
Rick
he's
is not a Konzo when it comes to that. Rick tears into him when
he does,
him.
But like most of the time he just kind of sits there and he taps his head or he sends out a run of three, run of four, run of 21. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying personally, when I see that and I see the other coach going crazy and our guy's just doing that. Honestly, if we're winning, it's like, yeah, we're calm, cool, and collected and we're beating your ass. Take that. Mm-hmm. When the game changes and the other team starts taking off on runs and they're hitting threes and the fouls are going their way and you're turning the ball over, something about that just makes me like, dude, like stand up and say something, like just scream or get a technical or throw something on the floor. Again, it may mean nothing. I'm not trying to complain. I'm just saying there's something about watching Bruce Pearl sweat through jackets and throw his clothes and kick stuff and scream and grit his teeth and just scowl at officials. There's something when he's winning and we're losing in the same game that I'm just like, man, I wish we would do that sometimes.
And I absolutely understand what you're saying. And that's not to say that we miss Bruce or anything like that.
No, that's not at all. I'm just saying, like, it may not matter. I'm just saying, as a fan of a sport of any kind, yeah, when your coach clearly is as invested as you are with his emotion and being demonstrative and his actions, like there's just something about that you're kind of like, yeah, this guy gets me. And I'm not saying it's the only way to win, but there is something when I'm watching the other coach do that, and I'm watching my coach not do that, and especially because it's Bruce. Like, and I get it. Like, I totally get it. None of these guys played for him. None of these coaches coached with him. Hell, none of the staff in the office are probably still the same. But to me, to the thousands of people who watched that game today, like, it does matter. It does matter. Like, it's important for me to beat that guy. It's important for us to know that we're still better than him and that we fired him. And even though we didn't hate him at the time, it's still important for us to be better than him moving forward. And that he's not the one that gets the best of us. And today, he pulled your pants down.
Three in a row. It sucks. Because
pants down on national TV.
I do not like Bruce Pearl. Just don't like him.
You know, I can't remember which caller it was earlier. Brought Jay, I think, actually. Are we cursed against Auburn? Or does Auburn have Bruce Pearl's, excuse me, does he have Rick Barnes' number? Does Bruce Pearl have Rick Barnes' number? Rick Barnes' first matchup against Auburn at Auburn, they lost 83-77, a pretty close game. In that same year, you went and beat Auburn at home 71-45, an absolute drubbing. Robert Hubbs gave you 20 in that game. Armani Moore gave you 12. Then you faced off with him in the first round of the SEC tournament. You beat him 97-59.
That game was awesome.
You blasted that ass. That was in Nashville also, by the way.
Yes,
I thought so. I couldn't remember. So the last time you faced Bruce Pearl in Auburn, you beat him by 38. 38 points. Bruce Pearl, take that L. And today, Bruce Pearl got a little over half of that back. when the Auburn Tigers come in and beat Tennessee 84-64. We go to Buster now on the McKinney Team Hotline. 865-546-8200 if you want to join us. Again, I don't know how long we're going to go on this
thing. He is coming live from Nashville, by the way.
Oh, Buster, I'm so sorry.
You know what? I had love today. I had love with my War Eagles because my birthday's on the same day of the Auburn football coach from 1969.
Wait. Buster, I'm not saying you're not allowed to call. I just want to get this out in the open because we had a caller kind of go covert earlier. So, Buster, you are an Auburn fan?
No, I am not. I'm a big Orange fan.
Okay. Just making sure. You're War Eagle friends and such. I got you. Okay.
I was growing up with Auburn, only team that could beat Alabama, and we couldn't do that with Doug Dickey as much. So, anyway. Guys, I was trying to buy a ticket for 2-3 hours, $150 to $200. I was by myself, and I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not a socialist. You know, I can't do that. So, anyway, I finally went into a bar, and the damn game was like 5 minutes before halftime, and people were still trying to buy tickets for $150.
Woo!
Thank God I didn't go do that Kool-Aid. No, Bruce Pearl's still Tennessee. I know it is what it is. Martha Stewart lied. He lied. It seems like you never can go back to where you came from after you lied.
She went to prison. Keep going, Buster. I'm sorry.
But no, he's good. I'm looking forward to the next show during the NCAA. But Kentucky fans will not sell their tickets yesterday less than $150 to $200. Or they didn't use them today. I never saw anything like it. Last year at St. Louis, I got in for $60.
They were bitter, Buster. They were mad. They weren't going to give Tennessee fans the pleasure. Actually, they probably did a lot of Tennessee fans a favor by not selling
probably
them their tickets.
A lot
of people probably wanted to go today and had to go to a bar and watch it like you, Buster. And about halfway through the second half, they're like, thank God I spent $150 on vodka Red Bulls instead of that damn ticket.
I went to Jason Aldean bar and had nice tacos and margaritas, and I spent less dollars than I did at St. Louis.
Cut the check, Jason Aldean.
Thank you.
Thanks, Buster,
for having this show.
Appreciate it, Buster. Thanks, man. You know, I saw those tweets.
Had a few margaritas.
I saw those tweets. he's still in the restaurant, in the bar.
Probably.
I saw the tweets yesterday, like, all these Kentucky fans refuse to sell their tickets. They just want to sit on them because they're bitter that you lost. Man, they did you a favor.
They really did. Did you know?
You didn't know it at the time. It's like when your dad used to, like, spank you and stuff. You hated him at the time, and later you're like, damn, I'm glad he did that.
Yeah, the 2020, hindsight 2020.
Glad I learned that lesson then and not now.
If you're Kentucky fans, I mean, wouldn't you be bitter, too? Think about this. Not only do you lose the season series to Tennessee when you have a top-five team. Houston, a little bit of history for you. Since the SEC tournament started again in 1979, anytime Kentucky made the semifinal game, 25-0 up until last night.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to take solace in that stat?
I mean, I did up until today.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't mean jack shit.
Right about 1:37 p.m.
This is the thing that sucks about this damn tournament. Even if something awesome happens, you cannot enjoy it.
Oh, God.
Unless you win the tournament.
Someone just retweeted Bruce Pearl cutting down the nets into my timeline.
I followed Auburn beat writer.
What the hell?
And I had to mute him. And
that makes me sick. And that's why it matters.
Yes, it does.
That's why it matters more than people understand. That's why it matters more than the outside world understands. Again, I really don't blame them. I don't blame Rick or the assistants or the current players or the managers or the train. Like, they don't know. They don't get it. But to people who have followed this basketball team for years, who care about Tennessee basketball, there are some who are football only and don't bother me with anything else. But if you have cared about Tennessee basketball for as long as I have and as long as thousands and thousands of others have, man, this game mattered.
Yeah.
Like, it really did. And again, man, like, Florida, they lost by 3.
They lost 65-62, yes.
Florida kept this to a 3-point game?
Yeah, they did.
Florida's not very good. I mean, they beat LSU. They beat, like, a coachless LSU. and you get them on day four of four, like you get them tired, you get Jared Harper fouled out, or, you know, on the bench early with fouls, and you just turnovers, man.
Even if we can do some alternate history type of thing and get Florida to win that game, Houston, I know the same thing doesn't happen, but if Tennessee still comes out with the same mindset, Florida may find a way to beat you today.
I'm telling you, Vanderbilt would have beat you today.
Yes, they would have.
Like every team in the SEC would have beat you today.
You cannot. And
depending on the quality of the team, the margin of victory might have shrunk. Like if you had played like this yesterday, you're going to be by 30.
Oh God, yeah.
If you played like this against a coachless LSU, you're losing by 12, 15.
Yeah.
Florida's beating you by 8. Mississippi State's beating you by 10 or 12. Like there's no excuse for the way Tennessee came out to play today. And like I say, that's what makes it so frustrating. That's what makes it so confusing. You had a championship on the line, and it's one your program hadn't won in 40 years. 40 years you have not won this tournament. And as Tanner said, like when Kentucky gets to the semis, 25-0 until yesterday. Like you had already done it. You had already slayed the beast. You have put the dragon to bed. And then you get Auburn and you go out and lay an egg, and that's the most frustrating part.
We got our boots on the ground on the line right now, Houston.
Is this Trey Wallace?
It is Trey Wallace. Nashville?
Trey, if you're not drunk, hang the damn phone up.
Hey, Houston, good to see you there,
man. It's Trey Wallace, everyone, on the Captain Hotline, drunk as hell.
It was heaven held down. That was some hell of a game, man.
Trey, what the hell happened today?
Man, you know what? It was, I was watching the players, and they come out through the tunnel, and, you know, they do the whole jukebox thing. They get hyped up, and I honestly thought they had it. I mean, the juice-wise, before the game started. And once Auburn came out there, and they knocked down a couple threes, and, you know, they got up to 13 points, it was like, it's like Tennessee hit a wall, man. And I don't know how to explain it. I was sitting next to a couple guys from Knoxville, and we were talking back and forth about this. And I don't usually go after players. I'm not going to go after him, but Grant Williams did not go up with the ball today. He did not attack the rim.
Nope.
He did. His first instinct was to pass. And when you're in the post and you're playing against a team like Auburn who has no paint game, that's when you have to take advantage. And Grant didn't do that today. Averill didn't do it either. Lamonte Turner, all of a sudden, you know, he knocks down a couple shots yesterday, and then he comes out and gets 20-plus points today. And he was probably the lone bright spot along with Bone. I mean, look, I don't know what to say because I said it before the game. I said, look, Auburn's going to come out here. They're going to hit a barrage of threes. They're going to shoot 30-plus, and you got to figure out what your game is going to be. And Tennessee got sucked into their game. And when you get sucked into what Auburn tries to do and you don't play your own game, that's where you get caught, and that's where the big leads happen, Houston. I mean, look, you look at that one stretch where Tennessee, they were 2-for-13 from the field. And the reason why that happened is they were trying to play Auburn's game by kicking it out to the arc, trying to hit those shots, not playing balls in the paint. I thought they were very sloppy today with the turnovers and especially the passes in the paint. I don't know what Bone was trying to do or even Lamonte at times with their turnovers.
All of them, man. Like the passing today was the worst part. Like everyone's going to harp on the Bone and the Turner losing the ball on the dribble, and I think Averill had one where he's driving to the paint and just kind of loses it. The problem was passing to each other.
Agreed. I mean, just another straight up. I mean, there was no way else for me to break it down at halftime but saying two things: perimeter defense and passing. That was it. If you even get the passing part down, you know, you have opportunities to lay the ball in at times. You had wide open shots. You know, I think Auburn clamped down coming out of the second half on defense, and you know, credit to them. But I'm just saying, you know, Tennessee shot themselves in the foot today, and I'm not going to use this as an excuse. But I'm just going to say it. I think Tennessee mentally thought they won the SEC championship yesterday. And you could tell after the first 5 minutes of that game that Tennessee was not there. And it wasn't because of their legs. Couldn't be more tired than Auburn was.
Nope.
I just think everything went into yesterday. And you come out today and you start playing sloppy for the first 10 minutes, things are going to happen to you. Auburn's going to break it open. And that's exactly what they did. And I want to say this, too, because y'all were just talking to a fan about buying tickets and all that good stuff, and I've been listening for a minute. Shout out to Tennessee fans.
Dude, they
know today.
Once again, Trey, they answered the damn bell.
They did, man. And you know what? That surprised me because last night I was talking to some folks and I was on StubHub. And you know me, I just like to track prices.
Yep.
And I was like, damn, okay. Maybe 15,000. Guys, that place was sold out. Straight Tennessee with probably 2,000 Auburn fans there. They answered the call. And they came from all over. And I talked to two people from Memphis, a couple people from Knoxville. So major shout out to them for supporting this team and the way that they traveled. That's just one thing that really stood out to me. And there were a lot of Fox Sports Knoxville listeners, people coming up. Saying
oh, God. They're the freaking best. You know that, Trey? They are the best.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So they're probably at the bar, you know, either passed out or having a nap right now. But it is what it is, and we do
carry the fight. I mean, carry the fight. Put on more steam.
Right. Yeah. Carry the fight. Put on more steam. But look, I asked Fulkerson after the game, and it was one. He was by himself. And I want to break this down for a minute. I was in the locker room, and everybody was talking to Bone and Admiral and Bowden, and then I saw Fulkerson over there in the corner, and he was literally by himself. He was kind of just sitting there. Nobody was around him.
Poor Fulky.
And I walked up. Yeah, and I walked up to him. I said, hey, man, you good? Can I chat? And he goes, yeah, let's do it. And the interview I have is up on Twitter right now with him. And he kind of explained it. I asked him, I said, hey, man, can this team go on another run? I said, what's the mentality right now? And he goes, yeah, we're going to go get our legs back. We're going to go make a run in March in the tournament. And I was like, okay. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, that's what you want to hear, but it's coming from Fulkerson, so I buy into it. With John this week, he had times in this tournament where he played really good and he did his job. There are also some times where defense kind of broke down. I think.
What do you think?
Foul calls.
Sorry. Hey, Trey, we lost you for a second. What did you say right after, I think?
No, I think personally that looking at this game and the way Fulkerson was rolling, I think he had his bright spots during the tournament. I think he actually stepped up and helped this team off the bench. And that's something that they're going to have to rely on when the NCAAs come around. And this, I'm going to say this as my personal opinion. Watching this team today, I thought they left it on the court yesterday. Here's now how I feel after the game. I think this team can go win four in a row, and then God knows what happens in the Final Four. And I know people are down, and I understand it completely. I know people spend money to travel, and I totally get that. But if there is one bright side, I do think this team can go win four straight and play in Minneapolis for at least a shot at a championship game. I think they're good enough, Houston and Tanner. They ran into a mental buzzsaw today, and Auburn does that to you, man. You shoot 34 threes, you know, stuff happens. And I understand people, you know, watch Bruce Pearl.
In fairness, it was 40, Trey. They 40, shot.
I'm sorry, 40.
40.
Yeah, 40. 43-pointers. I mean, that's what they do. And if you don't clamp them down on the outside, if you're not able to set up your... There were many times tonight and today that the problem was the switching off the man again, where you're leaving a guy wide open.
Buddy, I don't know. We had done such a good job of sliding under screens lately, and then today we seem to switch everything. We switched screens today that weren't even screens.
Right. Here's what Auburn does, and this is what Bruce Pearl does. They're going to pass the ball three or four times before they put a shot up.
Yep.
Tennessee fans know this. That's exactly what they did today. Mm-hmm. They were passing that ball around the arc, finally finding the open man, and Tennessee could match it. But I don't know. Last thing I'll say, man, getting out is look, Tennessee, that was probably the best college basketball game I've witnessed in many years last night. I hope Tennessee fans I hope it's not lost on them in a way because it was so good. Mm. I know today sucks, but tonight at 6 o'clock, you got to shake that shit off, and you got to get ready for the NCAA tournament. And look, if this team is within 500 miles, I would expect Vol Nation to turn up as well. So, you know, that's all I got, guys.
Hey, Trey.
I'm driving back to Knoxville. Can't wait to sleep my own damn bed.
Hey, Trey, before you get off here, man, you're talking about the selection show.
Yeah.
I know if Tennessee, especially, I mean, as soon as the second round, and hell, even it depends what type of lower seed they're matched up with in the opening round. In your own opinion, what would be like the worst matchup for Tennessee to face? Something a team similar to Auburn.
I was going to say, who's the most like Auburn?
I'm thinking of Wofford. I'm thinking of Virginia Tech. I'm thinking of teams like that, man.
Houston.
I'm thinking of like a Buzz Williams type team. No, I agree with you that. I'll be honest with you. If they could play anybody, it'd be a team like Virginia, where they could use the post and they could play everything out of Admiral and Grant down low, or even Kyle Alexander at times.
If we're a two, I want Virginia as my one. I've been on record for months saying that.
Tennessee could beat Virginia. Look, if Tennessee brings their game like they brought last night, they beat Auburn by 15 points today. And if they would have played Duke yesterday, same way that they played Kentucky, they'd have probably ended up with, I would say they could win that game as well. Look, Tennessee could beat anybody in the country. And I'm not just saying that. I'm saying it because I watch a lot of college basketball and I watch these teams. If they draw somebody like Virginia on defense, they can beat them because of the way Grant and Admiral play. If they draw somebody that's fast-paced, they're going to have to figure out and either set up a man-to-man where they don't have to switch running the 2-3, or they're going to have to figure out a way to press more. And I think that's what killed them tonight as well. Bowden said it best last night. He said, we came out, and Lamonte said this as well, he came out, we ran the 24, which is Rick Barnes' word for full-court press, nonstop. That's what caused Kentucky to get into a fluster. They didn't do that a lot today, and that surprised me. So, look, tonight's going to come out. I was talking with some folks around there. We're kind of thinking Columbus, Louisville, or Jacksonville. They're not going to send them out west. Tennessee is, if they're not the fourth one, then they're the first five. You know what I mean? So the first two.
Trey, we're starting to lose you. Wait, are you back?
I'm back.
He's back! Oh, my God!
Oh, he sounded like he was... Trey.
We hung on just long enough to make sure Trey didn't drop.
Trey sounded like he was talking directly into a fan.
He sounded like Optimus Prime.
Dude, I am so freaking tired. It is what it is. But I'm saying, I think Tennessee is... If they don't get the fourth one, which is probably not going to happen, okay, then they should get the first two. And if that happens, you go to Louisville, and you pray that you're in the Virginia Regional where you can go try to shut them up. Because if you're in that Virginia Regional... then I think that's one they can win. I do think Tennessee can play with anybody in the country. They've proven that. And the last thing I'll say, I put on Twitter earlier, right before the game was about to end. I said, I don't doubt this team can go win six in a row. And a lot of people were like, no, that's not going to happen. You know, when's that ever happen? Guys, this team won 19 games in a row. And they're going to play teams in the first two rounds that are similar than some of the ones that they played during that 19-game winning streak. So, crazy things happen, is what it is, snap and clear, and get ready for the NCAA tournament.
All the cliches, yes.
Yeah. Trey, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. Drive safe.
Hey, thanks, guys. You be good.
See you tomorrow. Catch Trey Wallace on It's Optional 1-3 every day right here, Fan Run Radio.
Last thing I'll say.
Someone just said Michigan State had a player break his ankle. Is that real talk, or did he just get, crossed over? Michigan State currently... We're trying to keep an eye on 1 and 2 seed battles. But number 10, Michigan, 21. Michigan State, 17, 440 left to go in the first half there. That's a real Big Ten barn burner. They might touch 50 points apiece, Tanner.
Ooh.
That's a blowout. That's a damn shootout in Big Ten.
That is a Konza Martin boat.
They have football teams that score more than the basketball teams in the Big 12. Or Big Ten, excuse me. All the time.
Apparently, it was a real injury.
Who was it?
I'm trying to look. People are just saying it was like an ankle roll. Like, I just searched Michigan State on Twitter, and nobody's, saying what player it is. If it's Cassius Winston, that's a big problem. I'm trying to find out here. You want to go to Jamie while I try to research this? And also,
I think it might be Winston, actually.
And I also have to plug in my laptop so it doesn't die.
Who are we going to here? Jamie, yes. Jamie, bring it on. The McKinney Team Hotline on Voluntary Reaction. What you got, Jamie? Oh, wait, I know who this is. This is going to be bad.
Yeah, you know it is. Guys, I just keep hearing, Tennessee come out with no energy. And one thing I'm not hearing, is the one common denominator in the last three matchups against Auburn. Bruce Pearl, guys.
Yeah.
Bruce freaking Pearl. He owns Rick Barnes. And you know what? I've said this on the other shows. Here we were, getting ready to do something special. The better team, 5-point favorite. I mean... You couldn't tell me that wasn't easy money wager right there. And we played what, two games, and Auburn's played three.
Yeah.
What's the problem? What are we doing here? It's so Tennessee, guys.
Jamie, before you keep going, like, that's exactly what I said all afternoon. I was like, this is so Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. It is. We could have hung on to Bruce, and we fired him, and we brought in Konzo, who completely bored this program. You know, NIT won and out. He had a decent run in the tournament, then bolted for California, and then muddied the waters with Kevin Punter, and told, you know, Bomani Jones how racist we all are here.
Yeah.
And then you could have had Bruce Pearl, who said he would come here, you know, immediately. And you hired Donnie Tindall. That was a genius move by the athletic department. Then you could have had Bruce Pearl, but you bring in Rick Barnes. Now, Rick Barnes, he didn't move the dial at all years one and two.
Nope.
And he's years three and four, he's done something miraculous here. Now, he hasn't recruited a five player. I'm not saying a five star. I'm talking about a center. A number five.
Yeah.
He hasn't recruited a center. The last two recruiting classes have been kind of, you know, ho-hum. You know, I've always said, hey, I'll give him the fact that he's a great developer of talent. Now let's see what he could do if he develops somebody who was going to the NBA. You know, let's see what we can do with them. You know, not just these guys that are, you know, maybe Grant and Schofield end up in the NBA. I'm talking about the kind of programs out there like Tennessee has become the last 2 years with all the fan support and all the amenities and facilities we've got. We should be swimming in the top 50 waters for recruits. There's no other program out there that does what Tennessee's done the last 2 years with the, like I said, the amenities and facilities that's recruiting as bad as we are. I'm sorry, it's a head scratcher. And he goes down to Auburn, who was as dead as we were, if not worse, and has won back-to-back SEC championships.
Mm-hmm.
And rubbed our nose in it both years.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like I was saying, we could have hung on to Bruce Pearl. And we didn't do it. Now that hindsight's 2020. Who knew that we were going? You know, who knew that Konzo wasn't going to capitalize on what he did at South Missouri State? He was like the Bruce Pearl. He was winning a lot there in the lower level. But you know, it transcends everything, guys. We go out and we could have had Dave Blackburn and we hired Philip Fulmer. I'm not saying Philip Fulmer's, you know, workload here. His sample size ain't been big enough for me to poo-poo him. But I'll say this: the resume between the two. One of them was a very successful athletic director, and one of them never had been an athletic director at all. You know, and we could have had Mike Leach, we hired Pruitt. It's so Tennessee. It's so Tennessee. You go out and you beat Auburn last year on the road. And then you go lay down in front of Vanderbilt prone with a chance to go to a bowl game. It irks me, you know. And what, the worst part of the whole thing, guys, is if Tennessee wised up today, and said, Bruce, come home. What do you think he'd do?
Probably say no now. Or do you think he'd say yes? Do you think he'd jump on it, Jamie?
I do. I do. I think his heart's here. I think that he knows that, Auburn's won two back-to-back SEC championships. I think he knows the ceiling at Auburn's a lot lower than this here.
He keeps winning. He's going to keep raising that ceiling, bud.
That's true. I'm not gonna take away anything that Pearl's able to do. Far be it from me to ever say what he can't do, but I'll just say this: the potential for doing more would be at a place like Tennessee. You know, with what he was able to leave, and, you know, Barnes, we couldn't have lured a Barnes level coach without what Bruce Pearl left him. You know, when he got here, we had a tomb that we played in over there. Now we got an NBA arena, and right next to it, we got a $14 million practice facility. Got some luxury boxes surrounding the whole thing. You know, got that NBA scoreboard up there. And these are things, you know, don't tell me that, you know, coaches don't want to come recruit to a program like ours. You know, and here we do, you know, like I said, I give all props in the world to Rick Barnes for the last 2 years. But let that guy bow out in week one and see what I don't do all summer. Hey, y'all hang in. Thanks for being in there today, guys.
Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate it. But, yeah, Jamie, I love you. I know you're kind of, I don't want to say swimming like sharks around the Rick Barnes body right now, but I do think there's a little bit of Jamie that would take great pleasure in Rick Barnes dipping out in day one or two of this NCAA tournament. And I get it, man. Like, I'm right there. Like, I was one of those guys who's like, dude, just battle with Pearl for 3 years of the show, or the, you know, whatever postseason ban or whatever. Just like keep him. Like, he's our guy. I get that. And I guess again, like to Jamie's point, kind of like that's my point. Is like that's why today mattered more.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's Bruce Pearl has, you know, Rick Barnes' number. I don't know if Bruce Pearl just gets his guys motivated. I mean, like, think about the way they've beaten us. It's not like they're beating you on backdoor screens and they're beating you by this, you know, amazing off. Like, they're just shooting a bunch of threes. Like, that's what we did when we went to Texas. Threes. That's what we did when Texas came here. That's what they did in Auburn 2 weeks ago. That's what they did last year when they came back. They just shoot a bunch of threes make them.
They take a shit ton of them. They make a shit ton of them. Oh, and yeah, even if they're not going down, you know how they stay in the game. They force a lot of turnovers.
That's true. And that's what, I mean, that's all. Always what Bruce does. He's like, we're going to pressure you everywhere. We're going to force turnovers. We're going to shoot a bunch of threes. We're going to miss them and lose by 20, or we're going to make them and win by 20, and that's just the nature of the beast. Today, they hit them. So I'm not ready to say, you beat them by, what did I say, 38? 38 in the SEC tournament in year one. Now, granted, this is Bruce Pearl's team. Like, this is his guys now, so it's a little bit different. But if that's not all on Auburn. Like, don't get me wrong. The pressure today that Auburn provided was significant. You can protect the basketball against pressure. You don't have to give it to them 17 times.
No, you don't.
And let's just say Auburn misses three more threes, and you don't turn it over 8 of those 17 times and get baskets on the other end. It's a close game.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, I'm not ready to say Bruce Pearl is Rick Barnes' kryptonite. No, man. Like, I'll give Bruce credit. Like, he motivates all of his guys, and he makes sure that all 5 guys on the floor at any given time can shoot a three.
I mean, they're playing.
But we've kind of done that, too. Like, if Kyle's out there wide open, like, I think he's green-lighted.
Yeah.
Grant hit one today, or definitely hit a big one yesterday. I thought he hit one today. He might have missed it. But,
I don't even know,
like, he's getting green-lighted. But that's like what Bruce does. He's like, we're going to go fast, we're going to pressure, we're going to cause turnovers, and we're going to shoot a bunch of threes.
And that's the thing. We Tennessee cannot use the excuse of, you absolutely thought last night was the gold medal game, the championship game. You can't use fatigue as an excuse. That's them playing their 4th game in 4 days.
Yeah.
We're playing our 3rd. They should be more tired. They should be more mentally exhausted.
No, I agree.
But you brought it up several times here, Houston.
I agree.
Bruce is just a damn motivator. If Bruce Pearl was alive in the late 1800s in the Old West, he could be a damn snake oil salesman. He could get people to believe that.
And they would buy it.
Buying but that's the thing. Iodine, like, would cure cancer.
Dude,
that's what he would
but
do.
But that's what he does. Like, he tells Wayne Chisholm, like, dude, yeah, shoot the three.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Brian Williams, dude, shoot the three.
Shoot the three, baby.
Shoot the three.
What, game winner? We got Skylar McVie out there? Dude, shoot
against
the three.
Kansas, number one,
shoot
Kansas.
Shoot the three. He gets you motivated. And I'll tell you what, I'm not one to toot my own horn. I really am not. I know a lot of people think that. I do it for the radio. It's fun. I have said all year, you want to beat Tennessee, you better shoot 35 to 40 threes, and you better make 12 to 17 of them.
Dude,
that's
happened?
The game plan.
What happened?
It's not that hard. Like, Tennessee's better than 90% of the teams they'll play. Like, look at the teams that beat you this year. How did they do it? With the exception of Kentucky, a lot of them just stood out of the three-point line and said, and you get hot. Especially because you had to go to LSU, you had to go to Auburn. Like, that's what happens. And then today, Auburn just caught fire. Like, it was a home crowd for Tennessee. It was in Nashville, but they caught fire, and there's nothing you can do.
In the last two Auburn games, even when they're well guarded, even when they're contested, they just make them. Because everybody on that damn team can hit a three-pointer.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
No, that's the thing. That's what he preaches. That's what he coaches. Like, the only guy that Bruce Pearl ever coached at Tennessee who wasn't allowed to take a three was damn Major Wingate. Everybody else, dude, shoot it. Whatever you want, shoot it.
I would love Major
JP
Wingate.
JP Prince, shoot it. Brian Williams, shoot it. Ryan Childress, shoot it.
I would love Major Wingate to be on this team so bad.
But I'm just saying, like, that's just what Bruce does.
I know.
And I can't remember how many threes they shot in the first game. It was 35 plus. It was like
34.
34? Okay. And then he said today, hey, that got us a 4-point victory. Tennessee's probably going to play a little bit better today. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to shoot 40 of them bleeps. If you're open from three, if you're not open from three. Because a lot of those threes today were contested, man. They were well-contested shots. You had a hand in their face. You had a hand high. They had to adjust the shot. They just went in. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm mad as hell. I'm mad as hell. And I'm more frustrated with Tennessee's offense because you turn the ball over so much. I don't know how we were so pitiful with Grant and Admiral. Like, I don't get it. But I'm more upset with that than I am with Auburn making a bunch of threes. Like, if you've ever played basketball, if you've ever defended one person or just been on a team that has that night, like, there's nothing the other team can do. But Tennessee, even in that situation, they could have helped themselves tonight by not turning the ball over, by being smarter on offense. I don't know what was worse tonight, the passing, the dribbling, or the catching. Like, I have no idea. It was all abysmal.
I think it's safe to say the last half of the first half, that's the worst stretch of basketball we have played in years.
At one point, I know for a fact it was 7 turnovers on 9 possessions. No points, obviously.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
I just don't know because I know Auburn turns people over more than anybody in the country. I know they get steals. I know what Bruce does. But even if Auburn's playing like a really bad team, that's absolutely a huge outlier to do that. And Tennessee just fed into it. Awful passing. Bad ball handling. And with how terrible that last half of the first half was, I still felt like it was a miracle that we were down 9. I felt like we still had a slight chance.
No, I felt very comfortable.
Because you should be down more than 9.
I was
9.
Watching it with some guys, and I don't remember what it swelled to, but I was like, man, if we can somehow get this to single digits the way we've played and come out playing better, we're fine.
What did Jordan Bowden do at the end of the
first
half?
He goes coast to coast with a scoop layup that was fantastic. And honestly, when that layup went in, all the anxiety I had from that first half, it went away.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, 9 points.
You're thinking.
You covered 8 in 2.5 minutes. You can't get 9 in 20. And then about 5 minutes, really probably about 3 minutes into the second half, I was just like, damn, it ain't our night.
No, it's not.
They're hot right now. They're feeling it. Damn. We go to Sean from Memphis on the McKinney Team Hotline, 865-546-8200 if you want to join us. Think about winding down. It's been about, an hour and a half? Give or
we
take
are time? Going an hour 16 minutes.
Hour 15.
Yeah.
Sean, what do you got, bud?
I was going to say, I just think that today was just a Auburn at its peak, us at our low type game. You just write it off as that. We haven't played worse than we did in the first half in 2 years. I agree with you. I said that to some friends. And Auburn is one of the best teams off turnovers in the country. And I just think we fed right into their hands. So I just write it up as a loss and going forward. But I do want to say, the SEC championship not being one stings, but this has to be put in the rearview mirror. Like, I'm hoping we get the 2 seeds in the Virginia region. And Tennessee really needs to look deep. Because in 24 hours, we played at our peak to where we could win national championship. We played at our floor to where we get blown out. But this team right here, in the grand scheme of things, is going to probably be the best chance that we have at national title relevance for a while. We may get better pure players coming in. But overall, the landscape is going to be stronger. That's helped this team out. This collection of players is probably one of the best in Tennessee history. And there's reputations on the line. The memory of this team, plus Barnes being able to put to bed him choking in big games, that's on the line. So Tennessee can't afford to sit here and rest on its laurels. There are clear weaknesses that stronger teams now have tape of. We've got to go in the film room, really put a plan in place to not have those show up, minimize those weaknesses, and show up for each and every game. This team has to be balls to the wall. They have to put every effort forward from this point out. They cannot afford to lose by beating themselves. If they lose just because a team played better, that's fine. But they have to realize in the grand scheme of things, the memory and the history and the effort that they've all put in, it's all going to be made. It's all going to happen. It's going to be remembered in a good way or a bad way based on these 3 weeks. I think we're going to do good in the end. But it's really, really important this team comes together now.
No, so Sean.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it, man. You're totally right. Like, that's the thing. Last year going into the NCAA tournament, this team knew we've got a regular season banner hanging in the rafters forever and ever and ever. Now, they'll get the year put on the NCAA tournament bracket banner up there. And if they make the Sweet 16, they'll get to 2018-19.
And if you somehow got to the Elite Eight, that's finally.
That's there too, right up with the other with 2010. What, two or three. 2010. Yeah.
Oh, there's only one Elite Eight, Houston.
Only one. Yeah. What did Grant and Admiral say before the season started? They're not worried in individual accolades, right? They're worried about hanging banners. You're not going to hang a banner right now.
No, you're not.
Right now, unless you make a Final Four, you're going to be putting your year on a banner that's already there.
Yeah.
I'll say this, and I'm not trying to, like, spin this. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I'm not trying to sunshine pump. I will say this. This team played better all year when people just did not think they were worth a damn. That's when this team's been at their best. They were at their best last year when they were picked 13th in the conference. This year, when people were saying there's no way this team could be number one, there's no way they'll beat Gonzaga, they're not as good, why are they in the top 10? And they won, what, 18 straight, got to number one, held it for a month? Well, that all that volume now is turned right back up.
Yep.
Because everybody out there who said, oh, Tennessee's no, they had to get quiet for a while last night when you beat Kentucky, especially the way you did.
Now they have a lot of ammo.
And now they're looking and saying, can't even beat your old team. You guys want a one seed?
I have a surprising tweet, by the way.
Go ahead.
I bet you want. I'm going to read the tweet. I want you to guess who this is from. We were talking about seeding earlier and how we're all basically, there's the consensus that 6 o'clock rolls around, we're going to get two.
Mm-hmm.
How about this?
Mm-hmm.
All of Tennessee's losses were to teams ranked in the top 20 at the net. They beat Kentucky twice and Gonzaga on a neutral court. UNC, Michigan State, and Michigan have worse losses. It's close, but I'm sticking with the Vols on the one line. Guess who that's from? You will never guess who that's from.
Who?
I want you to take a guess. Take one guess. It's a national media person.
It's not Lenardi or Palm, is it?
It's Seth Davis. Ooh. Of all people, yes.
I was going to say Jay Billis or Seth Davis.
It's Seth Davis,
but I didn't think
people.
It was Billis, but I don't know if I would have thought Seth would say that. Yeah. Wow, really?
He has said that.
Well, I mean, look, today sucks. All the losses have sucked. Today, and especially at Kentucky, because you were never really in the game. But he's right.
In the eyes of the committee still, and you don't have a bad
but that's
loss.
And that's what I've said. That's why everyone, all the talking heads who are like, oh, Zion, Duke, and Carolina, like all those teams have bad losses.
Yes.
Like Duke losing at home to Syracuse, I don't care who gets hurt. Like you still had Zion that game, and you lost to Syracuse at home.
Kentucky's lost to Seton Hall.
Seton Hall.
Yeah.
Michigan State lost to Indiana
twice.
At least once.
They got swept.
Was it twice?
They got swept.
You lost to a non-tournament Indiana twice.
Michigan has lost to Penn State.
Penn State, I don't even think they won double-digit games this year. Penn State is awful.
Yeah,
Penn State
bad.
Is abysmal. I did call that game at the time. I thought weird things would happen at Penn State, and they kind of did. I got lucky. But, like,
good for you.
Look at, Virginia doesn't have a bad loss.
No.
Florida State's not a bad loss. I mean, it's not two losses to Duke only, but it's not a bad loss. Gonzaga lost to St. Mary's. Not a horrible loss.
A team called the Gales. What the hell is a gale?
It's a wind. Gale force wind. I think. It could be a wave. I don't know.
The way they spell gale is G-A-E-L. I don't know. I'll look what a gale is, because please. There's a couple teams named the Gale, and they're all like Catholic
schools. Hey, Tanner, get on the gale thing. If you could just search that.
It might be a Catholic thing. I'm not sure. What is a gale?
Yeah, it would kind of make sense.
The Gales are an ethnic group from native to northwestern Europe. They are associated with the Gaelic language.
I like
so
it.
Something
you
like
ever had a Gaelic ale?
I have not.
A beer?
I have not.
It's not bad.
Gaelic languages are a branch of the Celtic language, comprising of Irish, Manx, and Scottish Gaelic.
Well, today's their day, then, isn't it, their
Tanner? It is St. Patrick's Day. It is St. Patrick's
Congrats
Day.
Congrats to St. Mary's and St. Patrick on a nice day.
You know what today's also the anniversary of? You know, this time last year, we lost a sister, Jean.
I did. Someone said that today, and I was like, wait, that's weird. So the week's... That's.
I now hate St. Patrick's Day because of basketball.
But we're done with it.
That's also true.
So no more St. Patrick's Day games
also true.
The rest of the year. Michigan up 31-23 over Michigan State at the half. I believe Michigan State swept that matchup in the regular season. Is that right?
I'll have to check. But it was not Cassius Winston who rolled
his ankle. It was not.
Some dude who wears number zero.
Let me find it real quick.
I've already forgotten his name.
Ahrens. A-H-R-E-N-S. Kyle Ahrens.
Not Ahrens.
A junior from Versailles, Ohio.
Not Ahrens like the store Ahrens. It's
no. Like Ahrens.
Ahrens.
Could be. Like go big Ahrens.
I'll check.
Is there anyone on the line? Are we about done here?
No one's on the line.
Okay.
Michigan State won by 12 the last time they faced Michigan. I'm trying to see.
Game one was what?
Yeah, they did sweep. Game one was 77-70.
Okay.
That was in Ann Arbor. So they did sweep.
Okay.
So there you go.
Someone asked how many points did Auburn score off turnovers. At one point, I'm almost certain it was at least 17.
Oh, God.
I'm almost certain that it got up to at least 17.
Not ideal. Not ideal.
And what's weird is those are really double points, right? Because like if they get 17 and you get zero, or if you had gotten two, like it's a four-point swing to me every time you turn it over. Like if you're about to get a two and turn it over and they get a two, it's a four-point swing. So 17, 17 turnovers is ridiculous. Like, it's like I said when the show started. Like, I've watched a lot of basketball. I've watched the Lady Vols a lot this year. They had, in fairness, they did have like 26 against Mississippi State. Mississippi State's like way better than today against a lesser opponent. Man, you just cannot do that. You absolutely 100% cannot turn the ball over that much. And again, I've said it 100 times. Like, that's what made today so frustrating. It's one thing if you had played well and Auburn hit that many. Like, if you lose 83-84 because Auburn hits 15 threes, it's like, dang. Tennessee no-showed. Like, period and point blank, Tennessee, after that win yesterday, maybe that was a big factor. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they got a bad pregame meal. I've said that all year for every loss. Like, maybe some Kentucky fan went in and he put soap in the mashed potatoes or something. Like, I don't know. But when you no-show in a game like this, like, that's why people are upset. Because this was not a good game.
No.
Like, Mississippi State, for the most part, like, that was a good basketball game. Tennessee pulls away late. Yesterday, it was a great game. Like, one of the best basketball games
of the season
in Tennessee basketball history. Yes. The problem, like, and I'm okay with losing good games. Like, I thought the game at LSU, we didn't play particularly well, but the game itself was good. At Auburn, that was a good game. Kansas, like, that was a good game.
I tweeted myself in the Auburn game down at Auburn. I said, man, if I didn't have a dog in the fight, this would be amazing.
That's what, yeah. And people who watched the game yesterday said the same thing. People who watched the Kansas game, the Gonzaga game, like, all the, like, they all agree. Man, this is just a great game. The problem is Tennessee. And maybe this is Rick Barnes. Maybe this is just random. There have been, like, five, like, really, really big games this year. I would say at Kentucky, because you were number one at the time, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. Everything, and they were Kentucky, and blah, 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 blah.
Top five matchup, yeah.
Now, yesterday was similar, and you came to play. But the problem is, when people look back on the five biggest games of this season, and I'm talking about before the game tipped off, what were the five biggest games? And obviously, we still have some big ones to come. So to this point, the problem was in those, you lost a close one to Kansas, you beat Gonzaga, you beat Kentucky, but you no-showed at Rupp, and you no-showed today. Like, that to me is probably why people are going to be so good. Like, I don't know what the fan base as a whole is going to be thinking after this one. Because, again, if you lose the exact same way you lost at Auburn, it's like, And if you win it, no one cares. If you lose the way you lost to LSU, if you lose the way you lost to Kansas, it's like, man, you know what? Great basketball game, whatever. The problem today was that you no-showed.
You don't have as much doubts about the team if it's a scenario like that.
No.
Now you have doubts, and I love Rick Barnes, okay? I love what Rick Barnes has done. But I think people who are skeptical of him about his tournament success recently, they have every right to be until he gets out of the second round this time. Houston, he has not been out of the second round since 2008.
What is it, though? Like, 2008. I don't understand. Like, what happens? Like, we discussed this on 3 and Out a few weeks ago because someone called in and said, I think it was Roberto, he called in and said, has postseason Rick Barnes showed up 2 weeks early? I was like, But what does that even mean? Like, does that just mean his teams are tired at this point because he overworks them? Like, a lot of coaches this time of year will change things up, but Tennessee did that today. Like, they switched to zone late in the game. Like, they've got stuff. Like, they're running new stuff. Are we not as prepared to run our new stuff? Is it a motivation thing? Because today, to me, it looked like a motivation thing.
Yeah, today was the biggest motivation problem. I think
the team has said this basically since the loss of Kentucky. What is it? It's like we want to give like effort over emotion or something. It's something along those lines intensity over emotion, I think, is the word. Like, regardless of what's going on around us, we just have to maintain like our inner intensity and we're going to be fine as a team. The problem today was you ran into yesterday, especially for the last 10 minutes, you were the emotional team. I like emotion. A lot of coaches want to try to remove it from the game. A lot of these guys who bang stats out on a computer, it's the one thing you cannot quantify. It's the one thing you cannot put into a metric and insert into some type of data point that's going to say which team's better than the other. I'm telling you, in college athletics, specifically, emotion matters. And today, Auburn came out emotional, hit a few shots, and rode the wave, and Tennessee could never mentally and emotionally get themselves back into this game. I don't think I like the intensity over emotion. I think I like both. Is that what people mean? Like, are Rick Barnes' teams just so robotic that, yeah, like, when it's the regular season and not as much as on... Because I'm telling you right now, man, starting on Thursday, these games are going to be emotional.
You need emotion.
You don't think they're emotional? Go to that... Look in the stands and tell me this game's not emotional.
Your two best players run off emotion. Admiral Schofield, for sure.
That's weird.
Is the most emotional player we have had in quite some time.
That's what's so strange. It's like, but you hear Admiral say intensity over emotion. I'm like, buddy, man, you don't get to say that and mean it. Like, I watch you play.
He
runs
off emotion. He feeds off that crowd. Even Grant, look at the end of that Vanderbilt game. Look at him flexing to the crowd.
He did it yesterday when he got the M1 late. Like, he was fist pumping.
They feed off it, man.
So I'm just like what?
You don't think Lamonte Turner was emotional when Folley hit that three?
Are we front runners?
God, I hope not. I hope not.
I don't know how you can be considered front runners. I mean, you're down 8 with 2.5 minutes to go, and you come back and win. Like, that's not front running.
No, it's not.
Does it... Like, do we just need to tap in? Do we need to find a way to tap into that emotion? Like, is that what it is?
Whatever.
Because people keep saying that, oh, postseason Rick Barnes, this, that, and that. It is, and it's weird because, like, the data points are there. Like, he's not very good. They don't get past the Sweet 16 that often, or the round of 32 that often.
Houston, whatever the problem is, this was your last chance to say, okay, we know what we have to work on now, because every game from now on...
Yeah, it's win and go home. You're done.
Yeah, yeah. You have a few days to figure out what the hell is going on here. Do you need to make it a more emotional type of game? I don't know. What, like, do you need to work on? Because...
I'm not kidding. Like, I couldn't...
We've seen this team play at a level to where they could kick the shit out of everybody in this country, including Duke with Zion, when they played the best.
Last 3 minutes yesterday. Tell me there's a team in the country that if Tennessee's doing that, it's going to win.
And I don't know what I saw at the last 10 minutes of the first half of the game. I saw a team that played sloppier than a middle school team.
I'd say the middle 10 of the second half and the first 10 second 10 of the first half. Well, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I'm watching it at a restaurant with people, and it's like, I don't recognize this team.
No.
I need to go back and look. Like, I thought the rotation today was kind of weird. Like, I think we were struggling to find a lineup that matched up well with what Auburn was trying to do. I think that was a big issue. Like, we're bringing guys in. Maybe, I don't know if we were playing guys out of position.
I think a lot of Derek Walker out there defensively was a problem.
And normally he's kind of like your goon. You know, he kind of goes in and fouls things up and slows the game down.
Man, he can't be flying around the perimeter against their bigger guys that can shoot threes.
Again, well, that's the thing. Like, there's going to be a team or two the rest of the way that are going to at least try to do what Auburn did. I mean, go back and watch the Virginia game last year against Baltimore County. Like, that's what they did. Like, that's what UMBC did. They said, okay, Virginia, you want to sit in this zone? We're a 16 seed. You know how we're going to be able to beat you? We're just going to have to bomb threes. They hit like 8 early or something like that, got a lead, and then Virginia just wasn't powerful enough to overcome it and come back, even though UMBC started missing the threes. The thing is, Tennessee can come back in games like that. The issue today was that Auburn never really... Like, your problem today was this. Harper was out. You did not take advantage of it.
Nope.
And then, when it was like crunch time in the first half, instead of taking advantage of it, which you hadn't done the previous 5 minutes, you went the opposite way and just gave Auburn a run. Then, Harper gets back in the second half, and the threes start bombing. Like, I don't know. To me, today felt like the perfect storm for Tennessee. Like a sloppy 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because with Harper out, like, you should be able to build exactly what Auburn did. Probably like a 9-13 point lead going into the half, even playing as poorly as we were, if you're not turning the ball over. The problem was then, in the second half, Auburn came out bombing threes. That's the worst case scenario. Now, can another team do that? Yeah, like, it can happen. I hope not, but it can happen. But what I didn't like today was that when that started happening, I know they say intensity over emotion. We didn't have intensity or emotion. And if we had emotion, it was the negative, self-defeating, why is this happening to us emotion. So I don't know. I don't know what postseason Rick Barnes, emotion versus intensity. I don't know. But today was as bad as I've seen this team look. And I get it, man. People are mad. A, it was Bruce. It was for a championship. By the way, it's March and it's crunch time. Why are we seeing this now? That's why people are mad. We've got John on the McKinney Team Hotline. Last call for calls, so if you want to join us, 865-546-8200. John, what do you got, bud?
Well, I've just hit a stop traffic on I-40 East headed home. I don't know who all these Kentucky fans people bumped into were that wouldn't sell tickets, but I wish I would have seen one because it wouldn't have had me in this position.
That's
right
what
now.
I'm saying. Like, last night they were mad, and today they're like, whew.
Yeah, I got mine for $25 off a Kentucky fan, and that's the meanest thing one did to me yesterday.
Dude, that's five beers you could have been drinking right now.
That's the truth.
That's pint beers. I'm not talking box stuff. I'm talking the good stuff.
Yeah, the only enjoyable part of the game today was they did the quick change halftime show, people. And they had laid out the show itself was fun, but they had laid out this big tarp on the floor. And the final act or whatever was they dropped confetti on the woman and she changed her costume while the confetti fell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it got everywhere, all over the court. And so then the squeegee boys run out with the squeegee. They obviously can't get it up. You end up with four or five people on their hands and knees trying to pick up the confetti piece by piece.
Just individual shred of confetti, one at a time.
They didn't have a broom. They had to go get a guy with a broom. He had to bring it out of the tunnel. It was absurd. Other than that, it was a pretty miserable experience today. Yeah. We don't close out on shooters that are just spotted up for the three. And I don't know why we did that so often. I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, we would come to help with the driving man.
Yep.
And then they would kick it out. And they're wide open all day.
Every time.
Largely
in the corner.
No, yeah. We left the corner three open. And in the first half, he missed several. And it was like, well, you know, maybe it's not hurting us because they're missing them early. And then they got hot, and then they stayed hot. And they shot, you know, 11, I think, did they shoot 11 less threes than we had total shots today?
Yeah, I think that's about right. When you turn the ball over 17 times, that's 17 less shots you even have a chance to get off.
Yeah, and honestly, the seven turnovers on 9 possessions was so frustrating. Because we didn't even take a shot
I don't think you got a shot in the 9 possessions.
Not at all.
You turned it over 7 times, and I think the other two, like, I don't know. I don't think you got a shot off.
And I agree with your all the criticisms of Rick Barnes right now. Well, I won't say all, but a number of them are fair. One that you said that is particularly pointed to me is, you know, I do wish that he would be a bit more animated at times.
Like, I don't need him to be a crazy man, but, like, you know, just, like, occasionally, like, you know.
Well, and it's frustrating. Like, I feel like early in the first half, Bowden got hacked once, no foul call. You know, there were a couple situations where I thought, like, hey, you know, that should have been a call. And then you turn to Rick, and he's just sitting on the bench, chilling. And it's like, well, you know, I don't want you to assault the referees, but maybe get in their ear every now and then.
Yeah. And I think he does.
He has to.
But here's my thing. Like, the difference is, in most games, the way he goes at officials is enough.
Yeah.
Because the other coach isn't really that different than him.
Right.
The difference is when it's Cal or when it's Pearl and those guys are freaking wackos.
Or even Will Wade in the other.
No, I was going to say, like, Will Wade is on the outside looking in, but he's like right there. He's like the first guy into my top three coaches in the SEC who just bitch at officials.
Yeah.
But, like, the juxtaposition of the way Rick handles it to those three guys is just like,
It's very striking. It's a stark contrast. And it hurts when you feel like, you know, things are not going your way.
Yeah. And that's exactly like, when you're winning, you don't care because you're like, oh, no. we're calm,
exactly.
We're cool, we don't need to be the crazy person going at officials. But when it's not going your way and you're seeing some things that maybe could get corrected, man, it's tough. Like, I mean, two fouls into the game, we're 2 minutes into the game, and Bruce Pearl is throwing his jacket and losing it at the officials because Harper picked up his second, both of which were actual fouls. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't care about that. He's just going to bitch at the official so that they're like, oh, man, I did call two on Harper. Man,
they give a makeup call.
Yeah, they get a makeup call, or they just get to skate on the next two because the officials are worried about looking one-sided.
Also, what was the flagrant one that they called on Auburn?
Hook and hold.
It was a hook and hold? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I just from where I was sitting.
Yeah, it was Macklemore. It was blatant.
Yeah, they came out because they didn't say anything in the arena. They just go to the monitor.
Right.
And they come back out, and it's a flagrant one, and the guy next to me was like, "Ooh, I thought that was going to be on us." Because you just couldn't tell where we were.
But yeah.
I guess it was
hook and hold. It was one of those moments where I thought, hey, man, maybe we can turn this into like a 5-6-7-point possession. And then, no.
Yeah, there were several moments where it's like, well, maybe we'll cut it to 12. And it's like, well.
You know, if we can cut this to 19 right here, we're going to be
feeling pretty good.
Or we'll hit a shot. We would hit a shot, and I was like, okay, well, maybe we got a chance. And they come down to just drain another three.
No, and that was the thing, too. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to heap praise on Auburn, but every time in that second half Tennessee would hit two buckets in a row, Auburn come back and hit a three. Like, it didn't.
And then we were in a position where we were trading twos for threes, which is never good for you.
Yeah.
And it was just very, very frustrating. But, hey, well, you know, we beat Kentucky.
What more do you need, really, now that you think
exactly.
About it?
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate y'all for having this and allowing us all to air our grievances and lick our wounds, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. Is this last call, Tanner?
This is last call. You did last call about 10 minutes ago.
No, actually. I'm saying, like, should we say this is the last call?
This is the last call, yes.
Tanner has made it official. This is the last call. We go to Austin on the McKinney Team Hotline.
I mean, hey, we've been going for an hour 40.
I wanted to do 30 minutes, and we're still in here. So, I feel like we've given the people more than what they wanted. Austin, line 6, Fan Run Radio. What you got, bud?
Hey, Houston. First time caller, long-time listener.
Welcome aboard to my dumbass who signed up for voluntary reaction on Championship Sunday.
Yeah, it's a rough Sunday so far. But so I got two thoughts kind of as the last caller, you know, just to take this looking toward next week. The first thing I'm worried about is that there's really nothing we could do to build on in practice from this game, and that really worries me. You know, we didn't finish strong in the last 3 minutes or anything. There weren't things we did particularly well, which is something that a coach can take and use a little bit of momentum to go forward. And so that's my main concern. I wonder what you guys think about that.
No, that's a great point. Like the lone bright spot today was like, hey, Lamonte Turner found his shot again.
Right.
That's it. So everybody else, like, foot on the line. Like, we're running. Like no. You got... They were much better protecting the basketballs. Turnovers were 17-7. They had more blocks. They had more steals. They had more assists, which never happens.
Nope.
You got out-rebounded by 6. Obviously, you got outscored by 20. They beat you on the offensive glass. They beat you on the defensive. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there was nothing good today. I don't know if this is a burn-the-tape game. Like, I think we're too late in the year. I think there's too much left to play for this to just be a burn-the-tape game. But, yeah, there's not a lot to look at and say, you know, we did this really well. No, we really didn't.
Yeah, I think one mitigating factor to that concern is that, you know, a lot of times teams just fall asleep when they have a big game in the semifinals like we did against Kentucky. And, yeah, I will say I think it all depends on how this team copes with and reacts to being in the tournament again as a favorite to advance to at least the second weekend. Like they were last year to some extent, and last year was a bit of a disappointment. And so will this team use this as motivation to not flop like they did against Loyola?
You hope so.
Yeah, there's really no way to tell, but thanks for letting me in. Last call, Houston.
Appreciate it, dude. Dude, yeah, the Texas name boys got to stay together a little bit at least. Yeah, awesome. Today, if I'm not mistaken, and forgive me because this is quick math, was your second lowest scoring output of the year.
Turns at 64, so... What was the other lowest? Oh, Vanderbilt, yeah.
Yeah.
58.
You won.
Oh, God.
At least 58.
Oh, God.
I mean, hell, even at Kentucky in that loss, you scored 69 points. That's what I said earlier, man. Like, today for me, everyone's going to be mad about the giving up the threes. Dude, I'm mad that you scored 64 points. I'm mad. You know what makes me really mad is how well we shot the three and how few we took. You know, Trey said this earlier. I'm going to have to disagree with him a little bit. I thought in the first game, you tried to play Auburn's game, you shot 28 threes. What did we shoot today? 13? 14?
It was low double digits. I think what you did last night against Kentucky... was a pretty.
Tennessee was 8 of 15
number.
From 3.
You shot 10 of 21 last night. I think 2021's.
That's my number. That's my number for Tennessee. Everyone, you know, some games were in that like 10 to 12 range. I'm like, I need us between like 15 and 20.
Once you get closer to 30, I mean, that might not see like a big difference on the box score, but that could be a lot of wasted possessions.
I also think it's a difference is how well you're shooting.
Yeah.
Tennessee, I think, made like 6 of their first 9. Dude, hey.
What, last night?
No, today.
No. Because I started saying last night.
Because we started missing them late today.
Yeah, you did. And last night against Kentucky, you started 7-9. From deep, yeah.
Like
everybody was hitting them.
I know. I realize that our offense is an inside-out offense. I realize that we want to go through Grant every single time, and I'm all for that. But when you have nights that your guys are hitting, like I don't know if Turner hit his first 4, but he hit at least 3 of his first 4. Like, get it to Turner. And someone said it earlier, and I'm sorry I'm going to miss this because I forget who it was on the call. Someone said we passed down a lot of good looks tonight. I totally agree.
Yes.
Like, I thought...
Admiral especially.
I thought Admiral was timid. I thought Grant was timid. I thought Bone was very timid, even though he ended up getting 12 shots off in the game. We did not look like a comfortable basketball team. Also, I mentioned earlier, you know, we have more turnovers than assists. You want to know who our leader was in assists today, Tanner? It was 5 guys tied with 2. I knew there was no way you'd ever guess that.
Oh, God.
People were like, sometimes, jeez. Like, Grant's led the team, Turner's led the team, Bones led the team.
Yeah.
5 guys today with 2, and then Alexander had 1. You didn't share the basketball. Share it with Auburn. You gave Auburn the ball a lot. To Austin's point, man, I don't think this is a building block game. I think this is a here's where we will get beat if we do this again game. You want to get beat, don't defend the 3-point line. You want to get beat, don't come out with great energy and great effort. You want to get beat, let a team hit in a few shots, get you in a funk. You want to get beat, give them the ball 17 times. That's how you get beat. And that's what happened today.
I'm thinking of nightmare scenarios about teams we could face in a tournament, man. I know I brought up like Wofford, Virginia Tech, stuff like that. If you face like Va Tech, that'd be like a Sweet 16.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we've been doing this all year where it's teams like Houston, Virginia Tech, Florida State. Like, those are teams you're going to see later, so it's not that big of a deal.
Oh,
well, I mean,
God, you want another nightmare? What if it's Murray State? What if it's John Morant?
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
No.
Because that's all they'll do. That's all they'll
do. I don't want to think about it.
I don't want to either.
But no, like, those are definitely the type of teams. Right. Hey, by the way, as we mentioned, Houston, Cincinnati with 8:48 left to go in the second half, up 49-40 over my Houston Cougars. Bad day for me.
Bad day for the name Houston brand.
Apparently.
Bad day for the brand. So sorry.
Allen Houston, Vol basketball alum, he's having a bad day, right? So it's kind of like that kind of transitions into the Michigan up 44-41 over Michigan State, 12:08 left to go. And that one, that'll do it for us here. And now we just await seeding, location, opponents, and hope and pray Rick Barnes and the boys can figure this out by Thursday or Friday. The good news is, as a 1 or 2 seed, you should play relatively early in the afternoon. My guess is Tennessee would play no later than 4 p.m. on Thursday.
You know what's a perfect time for? To come out and see us at Elkmont Exchange.
Yes, we'll be at Elkmont Exchange.
Have a burger.
For both days, Thursday and Friday, and then for certain every Tennessee game after that, I really hope we're at Elkmont 6 times. Well,
that means
I hope I'm there 4 times, and then I'm in Minneapolis for 2 of those.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
You want 4 opportunities to have a good burger from there, and especially one of those house-brewed beers. I had El Jefe.
What'd you think? Did you like it?
I loved it.
Legion of Haze is my go-to.
You ever had El Jefe?
No, I probably haven't. I like a Hefeweizen from time to time.
It makes it sound like Spanish-Mexican, but it's a German wheat beer.
Does it have a...
Very good.
Does that have a heavy banana flavor? I think a lot of Hefes have, like, banana. You in on banana?
I don't remember. I might have to go
have
another one.
Have you had the Dos Perros Hefe?
Have not.
It's very... You know what's funny is I actually liked it until I realized that what I was tasting was banana.
Ooh.
Because it was kind of the artificial banana.
Ooh.
Like a runt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like banana like banana Laffy Taffy.
Yeah. Without like the cool mouth feel.
Right. Ooh.
I like bananas, but sometimes artificial banana just kind of throws me off a little bit. Sorry. Shouts out to the McKinney team for bringing us the hotline and for sponsoring all of our postseason radio NCAA events right here on Fan Run Radio. Boy, Tanner, I mean, I'm imagining I'll get another game during the tournament. At least I'm hoping. I'm hoping we make it far enough to where I get another game on this thing.
I'm already signed up for like a second round game. So let's hope we don't get upset by a 15 seed.
Woo! Buddy, I want to win that second round game too.
I know. That's all right. What I'm saying. I'd like to be here for the second round game. That's what I'm trying to say.
To all of you listening, thank you. We appreciate it. To all of you who viewed on the Periscope, you were awesome. I'm sorry the comments weren't rolling through quite as well, so I couldn't keep up as well. Sometimes Periscope shows me the comments. Sometimes it doesn't. Today was a doesn't day. Breathe. Relax. And hope that Rick Barnes can earn that salary this week. Because what we all saw today, I know we all hope to never see again. The good news is that Tennessee typically responds pretty well after a loss.
Really good news. We're probably, unless it's just something completely out of nowhere, maybe in Minneapolis. So maybe that might be a good thing in a way. You don't have to play Auburn again the rest of the season.
Not playing Auburn again.
Woo!
So shouts out to that.
Not again till 2020. Love it.
Honestly, probably not going to play Auburn, LSU, or Kentucky again. So there's four of your losses right there. Like, shouts out.
And if you play Kansas again, you can
get
their
beat
ass.
The hell out of Kansas
you
without
their
Azubuki.
Ass, yes. Oh, and LeGerald Vick. Iowa State killed them last night.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're fine.
We're good. The teams that have beat us, we're not going to see again. And the one team that beat us that we might see again, they're not very good right now. So everyone breathe. Sleep easy. See you tomorrow, bright and early, 7 a.m. on 3 and Out. This has been Fan Run Radio, voluntary action for Tanner Carson. I'm Houston Kress. Thanks for listening. Go get a beer, just or something.
Or five, or ten.
Whatever you want to do.